welcome for Central Study Hour from here, Sacramento Central Seventh-day Adventist Church. Let us worship together with one heart, one voice, all of us to our King. Welcome to our visitors, for the ones who are watching us online as well. Thank you for tuning in. Our first song is going to be number 582, Working, O Christ, with Thee. This is a request from our friend Wendy Cornwall, who is writing us from United Kingdom. We're going to be singing stanzas 1, 3, and 4. Like us to practice another hymn, please join us to our website, saccentral.org. Find us on the contact us section just off the menu, and make sure you go and click CSH hymn request. There, please make sure you include us your name. We want to know what's your name, where you're writing us from, and the name or the number of the hymn. For our next hymn is going to be number 240, Fairest Lord Jesus. This is a request from Miguel Angel Chavala, who is writing us from Mexico. Feliz Sábado, Miguel. Please join us singing all four stanzas.
Yeah.
prayers. Heavenly Father, fair is thou, Jesus. Thank you for giving us a blessed Sabbath. Thank you for giving us opportunity to come and sing praises to you. As we study the word this morning, help us to focus and turn away any distractions. We want to be by your feet. We want to be by the cross. Protect us, and thank you for giving us one day of life. Jesus, I pray. Amen.
All right. Good morning. Welcome to Central Study Hour. Whether you're joining us, watching us from the comforts of your house, watching us on TV, watching us streaming online from wherever you are, or if you're in the sanctuary today, we're glad you're here studying with us. So today, we are actually going to be studying Lesson 11 in the quarter that we're reading. It's the present truth in Deuteronomy, and this lesson is titled Deuteronomy in Later Writings. We also want to let everybody know, if you are interested in receiving a CD or DVD of this offer, you can contact us. You can reach us at 916-457-6511. That's the office here at Sacramento Central Church. Or you can email us at csh@saccentral.org. And do not forget to let them know this is offer C22150. Offer C22150. Give us your information, and we'd love to be able to send you a copy of either a CD or DVD of this lesson. So I hope everybody has had a wonderful week. And if you haven't had a wonderful week, well, you know, we can't always be in the glory every single week. So if you're going through some tough times, the good thing is that we're here today. We're studying God's Word, and we're going to go ahead and continue. If you haven't noticed, we do have some of our beautiful youth that are joining us and supporting us today. Thank you so much for the youth to be here. I know that the youth here in Sacramento Central Church, there are going to be a few of them that are going to be actually up here probably in a couple of years doing this. So we're very proud of them, and we want them to see. We're already calling a couple of them pastors already because they're doing really good. So pleasure to have the youth here, and it's a pleasure to be here with each and every one of you today. So this week is, if you didn't read it, now is going to be a good time. We're going to kind of summarize. We're going to go over and touch every single point of this lesson. Lesson 11, that is Deuteronomy in Later Writings. So Moses is the one that wrote the book of Deuteronomy, and he also wrote the first five books of the Bible, and those are called the Pentateuch, what we call the first five books. And it just makes sense that the first five books in the Bible are also quoted later on in the Bible. Especially Genesis, there we get the foundation of everything that's going on, how God created the world, how God created man, and our origins. So it just makes sense that later on in the Bible, that's going to be quoted. It also makes sense that Deuteronomy is going to be quoted in the later writings as well, because this book has a real impact on the spirituality of what Israel is and the destiny of the people of Israel. And Deuteronomy reminds people of God's law and the covenant that God made with them. It is often quoted by prophets. We know that prophets are there to lift up God's people and to tell God's people when they're going astray. That's why Deuteronomy is often used and is quoted later on. So today, we're going to touch a little bit about that. So we have our memory text for this week. Anybody who would like to accompany me, you can turn your Bibles to Deuteronomy 10:15. And it says, Deuteronomy 10:15 says, "The Lord delighted only in your fathers. To love them, he chose their descendants after them, you above all peoples, as it is this day." So what does this verse mean? And what's this verse trying to say? Well, basically, this verse is, as we all know, the God is the creator of all. He created everything. He's the God of all. And this is saying that he has set a special focus on his people, on God's people. And it started with the fathers, the ones that we learn about in the beginning of the Bible, especially, you know, Genesis, those people who God chose. And because God has given us special attention to them, what comes with special attention? There's a great privilege as well. And when there's great privilege, there's also a great responsibility. So God has loved these people, but then these people have a great responsibility. They are to be obedient to God, and they are also to be the light of the world. Isn't that what we're supposed to be doing today as God's people? Amen. So I just wanted to go over two verses real quick just to show you how we're going to use the verses quoted later on in the Bible. So you don't have to turn, but we're just going to talk about Psalms 81:10. Psalms 81:10 says this, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt." Obviously, this did not originate there. And we're talking in Psalms. This originated in Exodus. This is Exodus 22. But the psalmist is actually quoting earlier scriptures. We see in Jeremiah 4:23, it says, I beheld the earth, and indeed it was without form and void, and the heavens, they had no light. This is talking about the creation. The creation didn't happen in Jeremiah, but he's quoting those. So now we have a little basis on what we're going to be working with today and how the Bible is going to be quoted later. So basically, we want to see how Deuteronomy was quoted later in the Bible, because this book played a real central part in the people of Israel. So the focus, we want to focus on the parts of Deuteronomy that are quoted later on, basically mainly in the Old Testament. And one, what is the point that they're making? And two, why is it relevant today? So that's kind of what we're going to be talking about. That's the reason why we're studying this part of the lesson today. Quick question. How many of you quote Scripture? A couple of us. We like to quote Scripture. Why do we quote Scripture? Well, we quote Scripture because, first of all, we believe in the Scripture with all of our heart. It is ingrained in us. We have it memorized, so it's obviously something that has been impactful for our lives in order for us to memorize what that writing was. So when we memorize it and it is impactful for our life, we like to share that with other people. So we like to quote that later on. People naturally like to share things that have impacted them. And this is what we're going to be seeing and how Deuteronomy is quoted later. It's because this has had an impact on people's lives, and it wants to be shared. We'll quote books we read, articles we read, videos we see, sermons that we see, the Bible. We often use that, and everybody does that kind of in society today. So we'll go ahead and we'll move on to Sunday. And the title for Sunday is The Book of the Law. So the book of the law is actually referring to Deuteronomy here. And the main focus for Sunday is actually on King Josiah. King Josiah was the king that was king when he became king when he was 8 years old. And it says here that he reigned for 31 years. So he had a pretty good reign. And if we read in the Bible, when it talks about different kings, it says this king did good or did bad in the eyes of the Lord. Well, King Josiah was one of the ones that did good in the sight of the Lord. So we see here that in the 18th year of his reign, something special happened. And that it changed the history of God's people. Because around the time of King Josiah, sometimes the people thought that the book of the law was lost. They couldn't find the book of the law. But then we'll see later on why that's the case. We see that they were very far from the law because of what the lives were like that they were living. They were not living the lives that the book of the law would say that they should live. They were not leading the life that the scripture said. They were being infiltrated by other countries and other traditions. So the lesson here on Sunday tells us to read 2 Kings 22. And it says here, it has a question for us. It says, what lessons can we learn from this incident? So we're not going to obviously read the whole chapter of Kings 22, but I did want to touch on a couple of verses. So Kings 22:8, if you want to open your Bibles, we can go to Kings 22, and we're going to read a couple of verses, starting with verse 8. So in verse 8 it says, then Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the scribe. And what he said to him is this: I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. So it's interesting here that they found the book of the law. They found the book that they were looking for. And where did they find it? Right where it should have been, right? So it's interesting that they say that it was lost. And then they found it when they started doing the repairing and the building of, and the rebuilding of the temple. But were they really looking for it? Because if the book, if they're looking for the book of the law, they were going to find it. It was going to be there. So I come to think that maybe they didn't look very hard. Maybe the people didn't look very hard for a book that would tell them that they were doing wrong. But the good thing is somebody found this book. And what did they do? They brought it to the king and they read it to the king. They read it to King Josiah. So he's still pretty young when they bring it. He became king at 8, is 18 years later. He's still pretty young. And in verse 11 says this: Now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law that he tore his clothes. So obviously there was a troubling passage that was read to him that made him want to tear his clothes. Why? We all kind of know, we've studied why people tear their clothes. They're really upset. They know they're wrong. They tear their clothes. They put on the sackcloth. So it could be that he read chapters 28 and 29 of Deuteronomy. There the writings declare that there are two ways of life. There's one way for life, and there's also a way for death. And he saw himself and his people going down the way of death. So that's what made him tear his clothes and make some decisions. In verse 13, it says this. It says, go inquire of the Lord for me, for the people and all for Judah, concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us, because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book, to do according to all that is written concerning us. So we see quickly that Josiah is seeing that the wrath of God is upon them because they are not doing according to what the book says. He realizes that they are being disobedient to God and to his word. And immediately he takes action and wants to restore true worship to God. How awesome is this? Because most people, when they read and they find things and they realize that they're wrong, it's a very slow process. And most of the time, the process doesn't even get finished. They stop and they don't go on from there. But he takes action right away. It's funny that it says that they give an excuse here that their fathers are the ones that kind of led them astray. And we need to kind of look at that today. Many of us maybe have been brought up in different religions or different things. We can't blame our parents for that. We all will have an opportunity to be able to learn. And once we learn the book of God, we can turn our ways. And we can see that Josiah, even though his fathers did not train him right in these ways, he turned and turned the whole people to be able to go back to the true worship of God. In 2 Kings 23:3, so now we moved up to chapter 22, but we're going to 2 Kings 23:3, it says this: then the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to follow the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and all his soul, to perform the words of this covenant that are written in this book. And all the people took a stand for the covenant. So Josiah makes the covenant himself and for his people to follow God, to get back to their roots, to get back to what this book says. And we see the influence in Deuteronomy in his words. The words that are actually being quoted here in 2 Kings 23:3, we read in Deuteronomy 4:49, it says, but from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. In Deuteronomy 6:5, we see something similar. It says, you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. So we're seeing that Even in Kings, they're referring back to the book of Deuteronomy in the things that are being spoken. So Josiah right now is doing a great thing for his people. He's reading the book and he's bringing the people back to their true God. In 2 Kings 23, 24, and 25, it says, "Moreover, Josiah put away those who consulted mediums and spirits and the household gods and idols, all the abominations that were seen in the land of Judah and Jerusalem, that he might perform the words of the law which were written in the book that Hilkiah the priest found in the house of the Lord. Now, before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart, with all his soul, and with all his might, according to the law of Moses. After him, he did no other arise like him." So we're seeing that he did some great things. And in our lesson, I want to focus on the last two sentences in our lesson. It says something really interesting here. It says, instead of remaining the holy people they were supposed to be, they compromised with the world, and they often thought, "We are just fine with the Lord. Thank you." How dangerous a deception is this? So we know that is a dangerous deception, to think that we are fine. Because if we really read the word, we often will discover things where we're not really fine with God. How many people in this world, Christian people, really think, "I'm fine, I'm good, my relationship with God is good"? And that could be the case. But we often see the people in this world, we're trying to serve two masters. We're trying to serve this world, and we're also trying to serve our God. There's a question at the end, especially in this teacher's lesson, that says this. And I want everybody to just think about this. This is just a personal question that everybody can think about. It says, in your homes or even in church institutions, what we need to purge thoroughly in order to truly serve the Lord with all our heart and with all our soul? Because this is a hard process to be able to look inwards and look to see what we have in our lives that we really need to change. It can be painful. Let's go ahead and move on to the lesson for Monday. And the title for Monday is Heaven of Heavens. So let's see what it has here. The book of Deuteronomy, we see the law and the covenant, and the central focus for the people is the law and the covenant. And not only for the relationship that the people have with God, but for their purpose as well. So the question is, what is their relationship with God? What is our relationship with God? And what is their purpose? What is our purpose today? We're going to really quickly go over a couple of verses that we find in our lessons, and we're going to try and see what this relationship and what this purpose is. Deuteronomy 7:6, it says, "For you are a holy people to the Lord your God, and the Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for himself, a special treasure above all the peoples on the face of the earth." Deuteronomy 14:2 says, "You are a holy people to the Lord your God. The Lord has chosen you to be a people for himself." Again, he says, a special treasure above all peoples who are on the face of the earth. Very similar. Different. Then Deuteronomy 18:5 says, "For the Lord your God has chosen him." So again, we're seeing that there is a chosen people. God has chosen people. Does God have a chosen people today? Yeah, he has a chosen people today. So who are the chosen people? The chosen people today are all those who choose to follow God. He chooses us, and we need to choose him back. He's in control of everything. He is the ruler of all, the heavens and the heavens' heavens. To better understand what the heavens and the heavens of heavens means, we should take a look at a couple of verses. The first verse that we want to take a look at, we find in 1 Kings 8:27. 1 Kings 8:27 says this, "But will God indeed dwell on all earth? This is Solomon, what he's saying. He says, it's a prayer that he has. He says, behold, heaven and the heavens of heavens cannot contain you. How much less is this temple which I have built? Almost verbatim, we're seeing Deuteronomy 10:14. Solomon was very wise. We know that because he was studying the word. He was reading the word. And he sees his huge temple that he has made. And people, man's eyes see this temple, and it's just huge and beautiful and great. And Solomon's saying, this temple can't even contain God. This whole earth cannot contain God. And so he's saying how great and mighty and big God is. That temple could contain godly or worldly gods, but not our Heavenly Father. The next verse we want to read is Nehemiah 9:6. Nehemiah 9:6 says, you alone are God. You made heaven, the heaven of heavens, with all their hosts, and the earth and everything on it, the seas and all that is in them. You preserve them all. The host of heaven worships you. Again, we see in these verses that are talking about the greatness of God, how great and mighty God is. He's the ruler and the creator of all. It's interesting in that if we read a little bit back in Nehemiah 8:13-14, it says the people were gathered in front of Ezra, and they found the book of the law, and they read it to the people. Nehemiah 9:3 says, and they stood up in their place and read the book of the law of their God. Since they read the book of Deuteronomy, they were able to see and realize their ways. In the later verses, In the later years, we see that the book of Deuteronomy is still having a great impact on the people later. But you know what they needed to do? They needed to read it in order to understand it, in order to have that impact, to realize that they had strayed from God and the true worship of God. One other verse that we're going to touch on real quick with the heaven of heavens. It says Psalms 148:4, praise him, you heaven of heavens, you and the waters above the heavens. The whole chapter of Psalms 148 is about lifting up God, who is the creator and ruler of all. And God alone should be worshipped. That is what the key of this day is on Monday. Is, yeah, God is the creator of the heavens and the heavens, but he alone should be worshipped. Let's go ahead and move on into Tuesday. Tuesday's a really good one. I had a really good time reading it. Let's go ahead and read it. It's Deuteronomy and Jeremiah. So Deuteronomy and Jeremiah. So it starts off the lesson talking about there was this agnostic man that it quickly talks about that he doesn't believe in God, but yet he wants to set himself to discover truth. He really is on a mission to discover what truth is in the world and what's around him. And the good thing is that he comes to the Lord, he believes in God, and he actually follows and comes into a Seventh-day Adventist church. And there he comes up with a favorite verse. His favorite verse we find in Jeremiah 29:13. A lot of you know this verse. It's very well known. And it's often quoted. It says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That was his favorite verse. It's a great verse. I kind of can think and relate to this man being on a truth-searching mission in my life when I kind of left my previous life and what I was doing before. And thank the Lord I landed here in the Seventh-day Adventist Church as well. But we need to do that, and you can only do that when you search God with all of your heart. So the lesson asks us to read Deuteronomy 4:23-29, and it asks us the question, what is the context of this promise to Israel, and how could it relate to us today? So we don't need to read all the verses here, but we have a history, and we notice that Moses is writing to the people here. He's telling them not to forget the covenant that was made. He's telling them that to not make carven images in front of him. Do not worship other gods. God is a jealous God, and he warns the people that they're going to be sent into another land, and they're going to be corrupt, and they're going to have the infiltration of the other gods come into their lives, and they're going to be scattered all over the world in different parts. But then in verse 29, I do want to read this, Deuteronomy 4:29. It says, but then after these things happen, so after all of these things that Moses was warning them and telling about, after all those things happened and God's people were scattered into different parts of the world, he says this. He says, but from there, notice that, he says that, but from there, you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and all your soul. So we see that Jeremiah was not the original author of that verse that he quoted later on in his writings. That actually came from Deuteronomy. There's the emphasis I want to put on this. It says, but from there you will seek. Because all the people are scattered all over the world, all over the different areas. When they are away from God is when they're actually going to seek him. For each of us, that is going to be different areas. If we're talking about in today's world, in today, we are going to be in different areas. If we are astray from God's law, the covenant of God, we will be scattered and we will be enslaved just like the people of God were. So they got to a point where they hit what we like to call a rock bottom. They got to their rock bottom. They realized what was happening. They realized that they were away from God. And from there, there's only one way to turn. When we have strayed from God, there's only one way to turn. I don't know if any of you have truly hit a rock bottom in your life. I have hit a rock bottom. And that was what initiated me to search out God. When you hit rock bottom. But the sad part is not everybody, when they hit rock bottom, turn to God. And that's the sad part. I know somebody that's very special and close to me right now that has hit a rock bottom. They're going through some tough trials, and they're really struggling right now in their lives and trying to sort things out. You know, this message is for them. This message is for most of us. If you seek God with all your heart and with all your soul, you will find the peace that you have been longing for, that you've been searching for. But there's a big word in here that is actually just two letters. It says, if you seek. Because a lot of people just don't do the seeking. In Jeremiah 7, 1 through 7, Jeremiah is talking to the people. He's talking to them, and we don't need to read all of it. But Jeremiah 7, 5 through 7 says, and there's a couple of these big two-letter words in there. There's actually three in here. It says, for if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger and the fatherless and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave your fathers forever and ever. So Jeremiah is talking about there is a falling away of the people, but there is a way back as well on how they can get back. But they need to obey God, and they need to get back to the true worship that they should be doing. So Jeremiah began his ministry in the time of Josiah. So he has a great influence of Josiah and how Josiah just wanted to bring the people all the way back. So we see that Jeremiah also has this desire and the same passion to bring the people back to have a true relationship with God. Deuteronomy 24:17 says this, you shall not pervert justice, do the stranger or the fatherless, nor take a widow's garment in pledge. So right here in these words of Jeremiah in Deuteronomy, they're saying that we need to make sure that we are worshiping God how we should worship, but then we also need to follow the second part of the law, and that is how we treat our brothers. How do we treat our sisters? How do we treat the people that are also scattered, the widows, the people who are poor? In Deuteronomy 24, 21 and 22, it says, then you gather the grapes in your vineyard, and you shall not glean it afterwards. It shall be for the strangers and the fathers and the widows, and you shall remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, therefore I command you to do this thing. So in the harvest, when you have the grape harvest, they go and they pick all the big bunches out. But there's often little parts of the harvest, there's grapes that are still left. He's saying, leave those for somebody else. Don't be greedy. You got your harvest, leave those for somebody else. In Tuesday, in the first part of the second to the last paragraph, it says this. Again and again in Deuteronomy, Moses stressed how the Israelites' existence in the land of Canaan was conditional, and they disobeyed, and they would not remain in the place that God had chosen for them. So, obedience is to obey all that God says, right? Not just the portions that we want. And if we lose track of that, if we lose track of obeying God, then that covenant is not there for us. We can lose our freedom. We can lose the land that we have. In this world, and here in the United States, we are free people, right? But at any time, we can lose that if we do not obey the law. So if we go out and steal somebody's car, yeah, we lost our freedoms. We're going to be set in a spot where we are not going to be free anymore. So this is what it's trying to say. We see that how Deuteronomy is being used and quoted in Scripture. Wednesday has a great title. It says, "What Does the Lord Require?" So much of what the prophets wrote were appeals to God's people to be faithful, to be faithful to Him. Not just in general, but a part of the covenant. They were wanting people to obey the law, obey the covenant. They were reaching out to the people. And this is what the book of Deuteronomy is all about, is a reaffirmation of God's covenant with Israel. After a 40-year detour, God is finally writing and coming back to His people saying, okay, now the time is the time where you get to come. Moses is talking to the people to now fulfill their end of the deal. Because God's doing His part, we need to do our part as well. And in this lesson, it asks us to read Micah 6, 1 through 8. And it asks this question, what is the Lord telling the people there, and how does it relate to the book of Deuteronomy? Micah 6, verse 2, it says this, "Hear, O you mountains, the Lord's complaint, and you strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord has a complaint against His people." The Lord has a what? A complaint against His people. "For He will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you?" This is God speaking here. "And how have I wearied you, testified against me? For I brought you out of the land of Egypt. I redeemed you from the house of bondage. And I have sent you Moses and Aaron and Miriam." In verse 7, it says this, "Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn my transgressions, the fruit of my body of the sin of my own soul?" It says here in verse 8, "He has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." So the first thing that sticks out here is that God has a complaint against His people. It's about time, because the people have strayed from God for quite a while, and God is a loving God, God is a patient God, but He finally is saying, all right, I'm complaining about you guys. And the lesson here says that there is a covenant lawsuit, that God really is suing the people. He's bringing up a case against His own people. And this refers to this being a legal dispute, because it is a legal dispute. We have a law, and we have disobedience and disregard for the law. So this is a legal dispute that we see here. It says that Micah brings up the words directly from Moses and the book of the law. So it's quoted there. This book, the book of Deuteronomy, is helping so many people. In Deuteronomy 10, 12, and 13, it says this, "And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in His ways, and to love Him, to serve the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul and keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. So we're seeing here that the people of God right in this time have a different perspective on what it is to obey this law and this covenant. They are focused on the religion part. They are focusing on the ceremonial part. They are really focusing on the sacrificial part of the law, but that's not the most important part that we want to have. They have no real relationship or connection with God outside of these practices that they have. They do things out of tradition, but they don't understand and they don't love. They have lost sight of who God is and what he is about. No wonder many people, and in that time, have turned away from God. Because if loving God is only about sacrificing, it is only about traditions, it is only about what you can't do and all of these things, no wonder they're leaving and they're going with these other gods. Because they're not really understanding what this true, the message is in God. They're just going through the motions. Or earlier in the chapter or the Wednesday, it asks us, how do we relate today? Well, the same way. Israel is supposed to be an example to the rest of the world. They are called to be lights to this world. But they're not doing it. They're actually oppressing people. They're stealing from people. They're killing people. And that is not what God had planned for his people. Now we can bring it back to our times today. Have we become like these people in one way or another? Do we focus too much on tradition? Do we focus too much on going through the motions? And we lose that love that we have for God? Are we loving other people? Are we being the light that we're supposed to be to so many other people? So let's go back to the original question that we see here as well. It says, what does the Lord require? We read that in Deuteronomy 10:12, the second part of it. It tells us what God requires of us. He says, but to fear the Lord your God and walk in his ways and to love him, to serve the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul. Are you loving God with all your heart and with all your soul when you're just going through the motions? No. And it says, and keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you today for your good. God requires the most difficult thing that a human needs to give and can give. Any of us can come here any Saturday to church. That's easy. Any of us can give our money. That's easy. Not all of us can serve God with all our heart and with all our soul. That takes work. That takes practice. That takes prayer. Because we need to give up our selfish desires. We need to give up things that we want in order to help others. We need to help others that don't deserve our help. But you know what? God helps us when we don't deserve his help, right? Now, we have been talking about a lot about the law today, but we really need to love God first. That's what we're talking about. The law is the law, but the law is actually something that gives us freedom. So many people think of the law and look at the law as just something that's difficult to do, that's difficult to adhere. But that's not it. Everything has its process. And the first process to be able to obey God's law and to be obedient is to love. When you're trying to put something together, you have an owner's manual, right? A manual that tells you how to do things. You can't skip step one and try and complete everything else. The first step that we need to do is love God. And then everything else kind of comes with it. And I can only talk about my personal experience, but my personal experience with the law is that the law set me free. The law has given me freedom. It wasn't necessarily easy always to go from my life where I did whatever I wanted, whenever I wanted, to then following what God has to say. But once I started following that law and truly looking into seeing what that law is and how that law is love, it has helped me. The law has been so liberating to me. People need to know this. Because people, they see the law and it just looks like something that's really hard. Something that's hard to do. Well, all good things take work. It's a little hard at first. But it all starts with loving God. The end, the last few words of verse 13, I don't know if you caught it. It said, today, talking about keeping the commandments and keeping the law, for your good. We need to follow the law. We need to follow the commandments. We need to follow the covenant with God, with what God has, because it's for our good. It's not for his good. He's always good. He's fine whether we obey or don't obey. But us, in our personal lives, that's what's good for us. It's truly liberating. All right, we're making some good time. Let's go on into Thursday. Thursday talks about, and is titled, Daniel's Prayer. It is one of the most famous prayers in the Old Testament. Daniel here realizes by reading the writings of Jeremiah that the time will soon be up for the people of God. He became fully aware of what was happening to himself and God's people when he was reading the word. And here in chapter 9 in Daniel, he prays and confesses not only for his sins, but for the sins of his people. So it tells us to read Daniel 9, verses 1 through 19. Obviously, we're not going to read all of them, but it leaves us with this question. What themes can you find that directly relate to the book of Deuteronomy? Let's go ahead and read Daniel 9, verse 2. It says, in the first year of his reign, Daniel understood the book of the numbers in the years specified by the word of the Lord through Jeremiah the prophet, that he could accomplish 70 years in desolation of Jerusalem. So they're saying that he's reading it by the words of Jeremiah, and we know Jeremiah was influenced by Josiah, and Josiah was influenced in changing everything on the book of Deuteronomy. In verse 3, it says this, then I set my face towards the Lord to make request by prayer and supplications, with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made confession and said, O Lord, great and awesome, God who keeps his covenant and mercy with those who love him and with those who keep his commandments. We have sinned and committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and rebelled, even by departing from your precepts and your judgment. Daniel says, Lord, keep your covenant with the people. He is obviously very versed in the writings because he knows what that covenant is. He knows what that law is. He knows what the promise is. In Daniel 9:9, it says this. Let's continue reading. It says, to the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. In verse 10, we have not obeyed the voice of the Lord to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants, the prophets. In verse 11, yes, all Israel has transgressed your law and departed so as not to obey your voice. Therefore, the curse and the oath written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, has been poured out unto us because we have sinned against him. Verse 13, as it is written in the law of Moses, as it written in Deuteronomy, all this disaster has come upon us, yet we have not made our prayers before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand your truth. O Lord, according to all your righteousness, this is verse 16, Lord, according to all your righteousness, I pray, let your anger and your fury be turned away from your city, Jerusalem, your holy mountain, because of our sins and for the iniquities of your fathers, of our fathers. Jerusalem and your people are reproached to all those around. Daniel's prayer here is an exact summary of what the book of Deuteronomy warns us about and tells us about. We see in even in verses 11 and 13 that Daniel is saying where he's getting his information, where he's realizing where the people are wrong, because he is reading the book of Deuteronomy. So that's what we see here. How tragic is it that a once mighty and great people, these people who are supposed to be great and wise and understanding people that it talks about in Deuteronomy 4:6, were taken over by inferior nations. They are no longer God's people. Well, they are God's people. They are God's people that we talked about earlier that have not chosen to follow him. While reading Daniel chapter 9, we never heard one thing. You can read all of Daniel chapter 9, especially what the lesson tells us, verses 1 through 19. We never heard one word that we often hear when people are praying and talking to God. Daniel never asked why. He never said, why, God? He never asked why, because he knew the answer. He was reading the book and he knew why this had happened to the people. Now, let's take a look at our lives and our personal lives. So when things happen in our lives that are not going correct, most of the time we go to God and we say, why, God? But if we sometimes take a look, we can realize why. Because we have strayed. We have veered away from God and his law and his covenant and the plan that he has and the life that we should be living. Now, that's not always the case. There are things that happen in life, and we can't ask why, God, because we're saying, you know, I think I'm good here, God. I'm looking at my life. I'm looking at your law. I'm looking at everything. But sometimes God just does have a different plan that we have, but later on we'll see it. So at the moment we can ask why, but later on we know that God's going to show us. I've asked God why so many times in my life, and then a day later, 2 days later, or a couple of years later, I realize why. I suffered quite a bit in my life when I wasn't with God. I went through so many things. And I often ask, why did I have to go through all that? Well, now I know why. I've been able to help multiple people with their addictions to alcohol because I was able, through God's help, to overcome that with drugs, with a lot of other things. I asked why at the time, but I don't need to ask why now because God showed me that. So Daniel doesn't have to ask why because it's right there for him. He knows why. So I wanted to read the last part, the last paragraph here in Thursday. So in our lessons Thursday, the very last paragraph, it says here, but, and perhaps more important, Daniel's prayer expressed the reality that despite the events, there was hope. Despite what was happening to these people, there was hope. God had not abandoned them, no matter how much it might have seemed that way. Deuteronomy not only provided the context for understanding their situation, but also pointed to the promise of restoration as well. Amen for that. If our lives right now are in disarray, we know that if we get back to God and we get back to his law and following him and what he wants for us, there is a restoration that is going to take place. There is a restoration that needs to take place in a lot of our lives, in a lot of the lives of the people that are around us. Let's help bring them back and not have them be astray. So a lot of the passages that we have read today and the verses that were quoted later on in other writings from Deuteronomy was all about bringing God's people back, right? We see here so many times, how many times did we read verses that talked about seeking God with all our heart and with all of our soul? You wouldn't think that that would come from the book of the law, but that's where it came from. And we need to do that. We need to search God with all of our soul. We need to bring people back. We need to bring back those who have gone astray. And you know what? There are plenty of people that have never gone astray because they've lived their whole lives astray. They don't know about God. And we can truly tell them what they need to do to kind of get back to that. I don't know about you, but studying all of this has kind of helped me and motivated me in trying to reach those people and trying to do inventory in our lives and see what we have done and the ways that we have strayed, because it's just human nature. I mean, we stray from things. We're really good and strict about doing things, especially diets. I'm really good at starting off the first week, great. You know, lowering my carb intakes at the end. But after a week, I need to get back to basics here. We need to get back. Deuteronomy is calling God's people back. Let's search him with all our hearts and with all our souls. We want to remind everybody that if you are interested in this lesson and having a recording of this lesson, we have an offer of a CD or DVD. You can call us at 916-457-6511, or you can email us at csh@saccentral.org. And this is offer C22150. And we thank everybody for being here, those who are with us and those who are also joining us online. May God bless you. May God bless your week. And let's do it again soon.